This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to stay tuned to the St. Pete City Hall broadcast from RadioSt.Pete.com. The City Hall broadcast is a podcast designed to give you an informal look inside your city government. Here is your host, Will Kuntz.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the City Hall podcast. My name is Will Kuntz, host of this here program, coming to you direct from City Hall, St. Petersburg, Florida. Joining me is Ben Kirby. Kevin King will be along shortly. He's going to sneak in and sit down. Ben, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm tired. Just dropped off my ballot.
I was glad just to be about to ask it. If you voted.
I did. Yes.
That's excellent. Because when this first airs, it will be election day tomorrow.
Yes, that's true. Monday. Yeah, this will air on Monday.
So you voted.
I did.
Proud of you.
Thank you. I always vote.
Good.
I've been a consistent voter since 18.
That's outstanding.
I know.
Call that a super voter.
There's times where I said, I'm not doing it. And then
you did it anyway.
My dad got mad at me, so I decided
that's
to do
good.
It.
No, that's really good, man. Yeah. I'm glad you voted. I hope everybody gets out and votes. And we'll see what the results bring us.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's been a little crazy here. Leah knows this too, our guest. We've had a lot of VIPs coming in and out.
Mm-hmm.
We had President Clinton last week. We've had Secretary Clinton here a couple times now.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Let's see, is anybody missing from that?
Joe Biden was here in Tampa
today. Joe Biden was in Tampa last week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Today.
So Leah doesn't know the rule that this airs later, so we always kind of have to date it in our head. So Joe Biden was here, quote unquote, last week. But anybody else missing? Anybody missing from that? Oh, yeah. Donald Trump
was here, yeah.
That's right. Donald Trump was not here.
20,000 plus in Tampa.
Oh, he was in Tampa. That's right. He was not in the Sunshine City.
No, he was in Tampa. He's not allowed here.
That's right. So. That's per the mayor's tweet.
Yeah. So. We've had a number of celebrities that have come through, too.
A lot of celebrities.
Angela Bassett was here. She grew up in Jordan Park, graduate from Bogusiega High.
So it's been a busy time. Last week we kicked off, to pivot from politics a little bit in elections.
That's okay. Please do.
Yeah.
Oh, totally okay.
We launched the Cross Bay Ferry.
Yes.
Which we've talked about on this program, but it actually officially kicked off. The mayor took a ride on the boat with a bunch of people and media and VIPs and all kinds of stuff, and understand it's super successful.
So how was the ride? Smooth?
They said very smooth. I have not ridden it yet.
Oh. You didn't get on the VIP list?
No, I did not make
the
VIP.
What the heck, man?
No, it's embarrassing. I did not make the VIP cut. We also rolled out bike share. You can actually take the bike on the boat, which is cool.
Really?
So we had a big transportation week last week. Yeah, bike share rolling out and the ferry rolling out. So we had a good week.
Nice.
Yeah.
Seems productive.
I think so. I think we're making progress. That's real progress.
Very good.
So that's what I know from what we've been up to. So do we want to?
Yeah, let's introduce our guest then.
Introduce our guest.
We have Leah McCray. She is the Director of Education and Engagement for the city. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Hanging in. So tell us about your position with the city, what you do here.
So I am the mayor's education liaison. So I work with the schools directly. I work with students. And I also partner with nonprofit organizations that have educational initiatives and try to figure out how the city can support what they're working on and align with what we envision our city to be, the city of opportunity. And education is the key. So also, I work on a lot of community engagement events. So civic engagement is something that's very important to Mayor Kreisman. How do we get our citizens that live in St. Petersburg more engaged in what is happening in and around the city of St. Petersburg? It's a lot of different initiatives. I have my hand in many, many, many pots.
Do you just work with public schools, or is there even charter schools in St. Pete?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
We don't have very many.
Run the gauntlet there between those?
Exactly. And we have many private schools that ask for the mayor to come out and visit. If they're holding events, they want to see if the city can support them. In addition to the fact that we often have schools coming right here to City Hall, trying to figure out how city government works.
What is the biggest need for the education program, would you say?
Well, that's a great question. We're having a lot of discussion in the community about how the community can support the schools. So one of the biggest ways that we figured is early childhood education. In many communities where they've seen really big gains in education, it's because that community came together and said, we have to invest in education and we have to do it early. So pre-K, birth, how do we support that education early enough so that by the time the kids get to school and they're ready to go to school in kindergarten, they're actually ready to learn and succeed and they feel supported.
So this is before pre-K?
It is. It includes pre-K, but there's also a lot of program like Early Head Start. They deal with kids that start at birth and go up to 3 and 4. So everything that happens before the school system takes over, K through 12, is what the community has really told us that they need the most support in.
And this is separate. This isn't like a government-funded thing. This is kind of a private institution.
Nonprofit organizations, as well as governmental agencies, all have educational programs that deal with children that from birth to 4.
So is it, when you say involvement, does that mean monetary, volunteering, or kind of all of the above?
All of the above, really. I mean, we have a number of child care centers throughout the city. We have volunteers that go into them and give their time and sometimes resources in the form of money. Many nonprofit organizations run programs, like Lutheran Services of Florida, running a program for Early Head Start and Head Start, which is a national initiative right here in St. Petersburg and in Pinellas County. And then we have another number of organizations that deal with how do you get standards in all of these different organizations that provide early education, and how do you support the teachers and make sure that they have the skill set to be able to really give quality education to the children.
I would think that would be kind of hard to have standards because they're little kids. You know, what can they do? What are they capable of?
Well, there's certain things that they need to be ready for, to learn when they get to kindergarten. There's reading and writing and social, emotional, and motor skills and all of these things, getting them ready to be learners when they get to school.
So there's not like a set curriculum. These are just like guidelines for social development.
Exactly.
Right on. So if people wanted to get involved, what would be the best way?
If people wanted to get involved, they would find their local early childhood educational center and find out if there's volunteer opportunities to work with the young people. They would also give whatever resources that they had available to nonprofit organizations like Early Head Start and the Early Learning Coalition and a number of other organizations that are in need of resources to be able to do what they do to support early childhood education.
So mentoring is a big part of that. Is there some sort of website that people could visit to get a head start on that?
Well, I'm glad you asked. The city is actually in the process of working with Pinellas County Schools to develop a website so that people have an easy, accessible digital point of contact to be able to mentor and volunteer within the schools. It's really exciting. It's because people are so interested in getting involved and supporting through mentoring and volunteering in our schools. There's really no clear path to do that.
Is there a particular age group that needs it more than another, meaning like high school, middle school?
Well, right now the schools are telling us that they're in need of mentors for elementary and middle school students. We have challenging schools in our city. And mentoring is a great way to be able to support the students in whatever their educational outcomes. If they have someone that they can talk to, that can support them, that can give them some guidance on the issues that they're dealing with in school, mentors can make amazing differences in the lives of the kids.
And what's kind of the responsibility of mentors? It's not just schoolwork, right? I mean, you kind of get involved in these kids' lives.
So many people think that being a mentor means that you have to be an expert in some educational or academic field, but kids just really need someone to talk to, someone that can listen to them and give them advice and be a friend to them whenever they need to some guidance. That's really all it takes to be a mentor. Not to have any specific scientific background or degree in a specific educational field, just to be a friend to a student who needs an adult that cares in their life.
So it's not a set time, like I'm going to be here Monday from 3 to 5. You kind of have to be available kind of at beck and call almost.
When students have mentors, the schools like for the adults to be make themselves available when they have the time. There's no set specific schedule. You're not on call. It's really just going to the school and spending an hour or half an hour of your time with the student whenever you can. But I will share with you that once you have a mentee, a student who's in school that you're mentoring, they begin to form a bond with you, and they know when you're not coming, and it affects them. So it's a commitment that you make of time, but it's not a lot of time. And there's no set schedule. It's what you can give.
So it's going to the school. There's no, like, really outside of school programs.
There's a number of outside school programs. But in particular, the mentoring that we're talking about is inside of the school. There's a Boys and Girls Club is a great example of mentoring program. There's Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Those are also mentoring programs that happen outside of school. But really, what we hope here at City Hall is that more people will get involved in mentoring students at school.
If someone was interested in becoming a mentor, is there any requirements that you must have?
They do want to make sure that they have people that mentor in the schools that don't have anything that would prevent them from being around kids. So they do a screening. They do a background screening to make sure there's nothing in anyone's background that prevents them from going on the campus. But there's no special requirement. There's no age requirement. There's no monetary requirement or educational requirement. It's just a caring adult in the life of a child, and that's all they really look for.
And just having the time to do it, that's a tough thing. So tell me about the early childhood education programs here.
Right now, the city is looking at ways that we can resource existing programs with needs, whether that's the professional development of the teachers or ways that we can help them create a curriculum or even business models for small business owners. So many of the childcare homes are run by small business owners. How do we support them in being successful at their business model? Do they understand what it means to have a business plan? So there's lots of ways that the city can contribute to early childhood education initiatives that already exist and programs that are already existing. But they need resources, and they need support, and that's where we come in.
So what are you looking for support from small businesses?
No. Some of the small business owners that run the child care centers have come to the city and said, hey, we'd like some help.
Oh, how do we do this?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a little concerning.
Well, no, I mean, it's not. It's not surprising. We have the Greenhouse, which is a great example. They work with a number of different small business owners. And now we're looking at specifically early childhood education centers and how we can support those small business owners and finding out what they need.
So is there more of a demand for that in the city?
There is.
For people to open up these places?
We have a number of childcare homes in the city, and there's not really a need to open more centers, but there's always we can always do it better, right? We can always find different ways to help them tweak their model, to be more efficient in their costs. Those are the types of supports that they're looking for.
So Kevin and I each have kids in pre-K, VPK, this early childhood setting, right? And he would tell you the same thing. What you really want for your child care provider is for them to focus on your child. If they're worried about the business end of it, they're not paying attention to your kid, right? Especially if there's not a lot of folks or it's a small business. Mm-hmm. So that's why there's kind of a small business angle of it, is how can we support, you know, these small businesses that sometimes only have a handful of employees.
Right.
So that's kind of the angle on that, right? You know, there's a lot of science out there. Not to get too wonky. I don't want to get wonky. But there's a lot of science out there.
Man.
We talked about the early childhood stuff earlier. I mean, you know, that the this whole science behind the brain development in the first 5 and 7 years, and these kids' brains are developing. There's a guy that basically figured out, he's an economist, and he basically figured out for every dollar you invest in early childhood education today is a return of $7. And there's no stock portfolio, there's nothing that would ever give you that good a return as investing in a young person today. And the only thing you have to do is wait for it to pay off. You'd take a 7-to-1 payment any day of the week.
Sure.
And so that's what the city's doing. I mean, we have young people. We want to have a rich, vibrant city in the future. So let's invest in those young people today.
That's right. It's an investment. It's an investment in the future.
That's all it is.
So we were talking about standards, earlier. So what would you like to see for standards if it were up to you?
I don't want to pretend like I'm the expert and that I know the science behind childhood development, but I know that there should be some standardization of the types of care that we give. A lot of people approach early childhood education as just babysitting students, but we know that a lot happens in those early years that can determine the outcome of the kids later in life. Right now there's a real push in the community to create some standardization so that every child, no matter what center that they go to, their parent can feel assured that they're getting the same quality education as the next child care center.
You know, to speak broadly, and I am no expert either, clearly, on just about anything, but one of the things that frustrates me is, I was a student for, 12 years in public school, was that when you have these standards, you excel at some things and you're worse at other things. So I wish that they would push kids that are better in this way, and maybe the things they're not so good at, maybe kind of take a back seat to. And what's your feelings on that?
Well, I think we're talking about, maybe we're talking about two different things here. So, when you get to school and you have a standardization of education, you're not taking into account the students' different learning styles, really, because they have to learn the tests. They're taking tests later
right.
in school.
Exactly.
I think that's the kind of standards that you might be talking about.
Yeah.
The standards that we're talking about is really making sure that students learn their ABCs, understand how to count, understand the difference between colors and textures and those kinds of standards to make sure that all of the child care centers are really addressing those needs, not to a test, but just to address the needs of the students so that when they get to school, they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
They're ready to learn, they're ready to read.
And is there any, because it comes with the parents too, you're only at school for a couple hours a day, and then you go home. Is there any plans to get parents more involved or any way to do that?
Parental engagement is always something that's a challenge. And, parents these days are so busy and they have so much to do. But to your point, none of it is going to be effective unless the parents carry it over once they get home and read to their children and help them understand what they've learned during the school day. And that's up to the individual teacher, really, to be able to develop that. But it's so important for the kids to have that.
Leah said she wouldn't pretend to be a scientist to talk about that stuff, but I'm happy to pretend to be a scientist.
Okay.
Actually, I won't be. But there's a guy actually at USF whose expertise is childhood development.
Mm.
And he's talked about parental engagement, and he actually has classes to bring in mothers and fathers too, and how do you get down on the floor and play with your kid? How do you read to your kid? What kind of books should you be reading?
How do you talk to your child?
I mean, there's some stuff that, because we think those things just happen, right?
Like yeah,
after
it seems
your baby is born,
be organic.
Doesn't really always work that way. So that's happening actually right here in St. Petersburg. That guy's kind of leading the way. But as Leah said, it's always a challenge.
And these
and
are
so
parents
important.
Can just go to these classes? They just have to sign up?
Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to go to the USF website. The program is called Baby Talk, actually. And it's Dr. Jamie McHale is the guy leading the charge there. People can find out about that.
Interesting.
Yeah, cool stuff.
Yeah, that's the hardest part, I guess, would be getting the parents involved. And I think that's probably the majority of where this learning would take place is with the parents. You could do all you want, but once they go home, kind of out of your hands. So tell me about the service learning. I have no idea what that is.
Service learning. So the Mayor Kreisman, actually, when he was in the House, the State House, he wanted to make service learning a requirement for every student who graduated from high school, right? It never made it into law, but when he became mayor, he still had this passion about service learning. And a lot of people think service learning is just going out and doing a service project in the community, but it's so much more than that. It's actually taking what you're doing in the community, a service project, and learning about the ways that that service project is impacting the community around you. There's a really bright guy who works at Eckerd College who is kind of leading the forefront of service learning in the city. And he really feels passionate that the next level of service learning is going to be students who come together and look at a problem in their community, and then they're actually able to measure how they change it. So poverty, for example. Like, what does that look like in your community, and what can you do to impact it? And then after you've done those service projects, measure it. Go back and study. Actually benchmark it. That's what service learning is really about. It's taking that service project that you're dedicated to based upon what you see needs to be done in your community and then studying it, really learning more about it.
So it's
in the classroom.
Using the scientific method to solve a problem.
Exactly.
Interesting. Hey, look who it is.
Kevin,
Kev
welcome.
King in the building. Welcome.
Yo.
How you doing?
Kevin, we're talking about service learning right now.
I came in to say we just eliminated the Director of Education and Community Engagement.
Well, then that's my cue to go.
You got 5 more minutes at least. So have there been some successes with this service learning?
Yeah, absolutely. We started a pilot project at St. Pete High School with some students from Eckerd College and their Rotaract Club. And they last year they went out and did service projects, and they came back into the classroom and learned about how they impacted the community. They studied environment. They studied poverty and housing. And they did projects at Boyd Hill. They did Habitat for Humanity. They've done a few other projects this year as well. And then they're studying them in the classroom to really understand the issues so that they can be more creative about the types of service projects that they do.
So this isn't instituted. This is more of a teacher saying, hey, I want to get my students involved into this.
Uh-huh. There. You've got the crux of it right there. We want it to be instituted. It would be great to be instituted. There's so many studies out there. A lot of communities have done it. Actually, Maryland requires it to be a graduation in order to graduate. And service learning is really tied to higher graduation rates, less problems in the classrooms with behavior, better attendance, because the kids that show up, they want to do the projects. And you mentioned earlier about different learning styles, how you think you should do something that you're good at and something that you're not good at should just be off to the side. This type of learning, service learning, addresses kids with different learning styles and gives them the ability to be creative.
Is it an extracurricular type thing, or is it actually brought into your day-to-day curriculum?
Right now at St. Pete High School, they're actually bringing it into their curriculum. So the students are going to a class and they're doing service learning. And we're hoping that all the high schools, then eventually middle schools and elementary schools, will do the same thing.
How do you get that through with these standards, the Florida State standards? If you have to pass these tests, how do you fit this time into the service learning?
Well, it shouldn't be any more time. It should be a part of the learning process, right? So if you're learning in social studies class about government, why can't you incorporate a service learning project into what you're learning already?
Right.
You're learning about chemistry. There's nothing stopping you from incorporating service learning. It's a tool. It's just another way to learn about a topic.
I see. Interesting. So I guess, is there anything else we want to talk about, or can we wrap this up?
Well, Kevin?
Well, now that I'm here.
Yeah.
Someone's calling me.
And now that I'm no longer here, I'm not a musician with the city anymore.
No, Leah's here. We love Leah. Leah's doing really important work that is a priority of the mayor's. You know, cities don't have, I know you probably touched on this, don't have jurisdiction over the school district or over our public schools, but we really do. I mean, we kind of approach it as if we do. And it complements all the existing efforts and priority of the mayor's. Education is the foundation for everything else we're trying to accomplish. So that's why Leah's here and doing phenomenal.
Do you have Kevin's speed round this week?
I think I could probably come up with one real quick.
Can you do one real quick? Yeah.
Sure. Leah, Will?
Yes. I forget how it went. Kevin Speed Round. Kevin Speed Round.
Leah, favorite school in St. Pete?
Lakewood High School, of course.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to pick favorite?
Oh!
What's wrong with you?
That was a trick question. All the schools are great. I'm sorry, but my alma mater is...
Favorite student in St. Pete.
Don't have a favorite student.
I don't have a speed round, really, but Lakewood, we do love Lakewood, and Lakewood's done a lot with the city. They have the program with the police department.
That's right.
They're doing. Lakewood's very engaged, so of course, technology center there.
Robotics, yep, yeah. They have...
Yeah, robotics. So Mayor loves visiting Lakewood. Where'd you go to school, Will? I forget.
Largo High School. Largo, Florida. Packer.
Largo. I've heard of that place.
Yeah, Packers.
It's somewhere.
Okay.
20 minutes away.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And so you went to Largo High School. What about the middle school?
Largo Middle School. Also in Largo, Florida, believe it or not.
And Largo Elementary?
I went to Ridgecrest Elementary School.
And then, so what brought you to St. Pete?
I went to school at USF St. Petersburg, and I got in a car accident. I was commuting, and my girlfriend at the time let me move in with her because I couldn't get to school, and I just stayed. Never went home.
What happened to the girl?
She's dead. No, she's alive.
Terrible.
She's around. I see her.
It's been a
some
tough
time
episode.
To time.
Yeah,
Leah got fired.
Yeah,
Will's girlfriend died.
Since I came
she's
in.
Dead now. Yeah.
I went to Tyrone Middle School.
Uh huh.
And I was zoned to go to Dixie Hollins.
Hmm.
And I said, I'm not going to go there. That's crazy. It's Kennett City. I wanted to, and my brother went to Gibbs High, so I wanted to go to Gibbs High. And then they said, well, you can't go there because you're not zoned for Gibbs High.
Mm.
So there was this little thing that you could do. You could apply for a special permit if you found a class offered at a public high school that the other school didn't have. And at the time, Gibbs High had Italian class. The reason I wanted to go to Gibbs High so bad is because my middle school girlfriend was going to Gibbs High.
Oh, right. And that was going to last forever.
Yeah, of course it would. So I'd get the permit. My mom gets the permit. And my dad, and they said, okay, you're going to Gibbs. I get there, the first week of school, there's my middle school girlfriend holding hands with a football player.
That's rough.
So wow.
That's
the moral of the story is just go where you're zoned.
Right, yeah. Just go where you're zoned.
You know, don't chase girls.
Don't chase girls.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
So anyway, those...
We started so strong with this
personal
episode. And
that was personal privilege.
I think it ended great.
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming in for the last few minutes. Sure. Kev, Leah, thank you very much.
Sure.
Ben.
Go Gladiators.
Final words?
Let's go Spartans.
No. Let's go. Let's.
Where did you go to high school?
Where did I go to high school? Little Rock Central High.
Go.
Is that in Largo,
Tigers.
Florida?
That's in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
What Tigers. About the bone bag? Where'd that come from?
That's mine.
He brought that in. He said he's going to bring us some 102.5 The Bone bags next time.
Drew Garabo.
Yeah, we're going to get Drew in here. I haven't seen him in a while.
Is that Drew's station?
That's mm-hmm. Drew's station. We're getting Drew City.
I also work there.
Best podcaster in St. Pete.
The best.
That's right.
All right. Hello, folks.
All right, folks. Thank you very much for tuning in. My name's Will Koontz. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Leah. Check out the Homemade Broadcast Mondays or Sundays, 6:15 p.m. And you can get it on podcast, hmbradio.com. Talk to you all in 2 weeks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Radio St. Pete's City Hall Broadcast, an informal look inside your city government. This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to join us next time for the City Hall Broadcast.